Welcome to the PodTech.net Juniper Master of IT podcast with Mark Ryan from Virginia Hospital. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much.
You've been denoted as a Master of IT by Juniper Networks. How does it feel?
It's definitely very exciting.
Well, Juniper has a new program they call Master of IT, really to highlight people who have done some cutting-edge work. You've done some great stuff with your SSL VPN. You've built some consensus here at the hospital and put an architecture in place. Talk about in IT here, what's it like? You don't have a big staff. What were the constraints? What was your environment like? And then what you did to kind of turn that into a really robust environment.
Wow, yeah, that definitely describes this pretty well. We have 4,000 users here at the hospital. We've got around 7,000 devices here that we have to manage. We have typically on a single day, a physician will talk to 5 to 7 different subsystems within the hospital, anything from our cardiology systems to PACS, which is radiology, our clinical information systems, or so forth. And the interesting part of it is nothing can ever go down. And I think everybody in IT knows that you can be up 99.99% of the time. You're up 364 days of the year, but you're down for 10 minutes. And boy, do you get pinged for that 10 minutes.
Exactly. Everyone loves you until it goes down.
Right. It's like, you know what they say, it's a God-given right on your telephone to have dial tone. Well, it's the same thing. It's a God-given right to be able to hit your browser and to pull up a page on the net.
Well, we were talking earlier about, prior to the podcast, about the environment, how it's changed over the past couple of years, mainly around a couple of things. Obviously, the internet pervasiveness at home, broadband connections, we still have DSL or cable at home. In a hospital environment, people are working remotely, and that's been a big trend. So talk about some of the things you've addressed with that. Obviously, you work with Juniper on the SSL VPN. What was the big dynamic that happened and the solution you put in place for that?
Well, the big dynamic that happened was we had a lot of physicians coming in with an IPsec client. And that doesn't really provide the ability to track and audit every place that the user would go to. We also have at-home coders. And coders are folks who go in and look at demographic information to provide that dreaded hospital bill when you leave, the $2,000 for the 2 aspirin. I'm just exaggerating on that number. But we have to give that ability to all of our employees when they're home to be able to come back into the hospital. They might have to enter some information on a chart. They might want to look up some information on a patient, which is specific to their care. We have physicians' offices who need to go in and say they are now prescribing a different pharmaceutical product for that particular patient. And we give that ability to happen remotely. But more importantly, we do it securely. We audit all the transactions. And we know that only the person who's allowed to make that transaction has made that transaction.
So that you have HIPAA requirements, too. So there's compliance issues around regulations, plus just the fact that people – need to work remotely. And that was you saw the growth of remote workers climbing.
Definitely. It's the simple things we have here at the hospital. We have a lot of time cards that have to get closed so people can get paid on Monday. And it would snow. We're in D.C., so it snows here every once in a while during the winter. And what we call the patient care directors who run the floors, each of the patient floors, they couldn't make it in to the hospital in time to close the time card. Now they can do it from home the night before that it's due.
And there's other remote things that you've done, innovative with people in Australia. Talk about some of those productivity gains there.
Some of the exciting things that we allow is that we try not to have our radiologists work through the night, which means they try to go at home before 1 in the morning. So around 11, 12 o'clock at night, radiology images, whether it be from MRs, CTs, or just x-rays, are read in Australia by other radiologists. It's a follow the sun mentality. And this allows an emergency room patient or a patient who is inpatient to have their films read immediately.
So you got production around the clock, 24/7.
Exactly.
With that. And they come in on the SSL VPN?
They come in on the SSL VPN. They have the ability to see not only the images, but they can see the patient's charts as well as enter information.
What about some of the things that you did with Juniper that you can talk about that you felt were notable in terms of, you know, real home run, you know, hey, thanks, this is really great. So if you had to kind of highlight some of the challenges you had that Juniper delivered on, what would they be?
Well, I think one of the most exciting things is what we do for our employees here at the hospital, because typically hospital employees are overlooked. And what we decide to do is we put a poll out there and we said, what is the biggest problem we have at the hospital? And I think this is almost any organization. It's communication. Everybody's working and they're working hard and they don't take lunch and they don't know what's going on. We're a pretty large facility. We have because we're shifted, at any given time, we have around 1,800 people here at the hospital. So, and we're also a mini city. If you think about a hospital, we prepare food here. We have to get rid of biological waste. We have a laboratory. We have x-ray. We have cardiology. Everyone's doing something very specific in it. So you think of it, we're very compartmentalized. How do you now communicate within the hospital? We've used the SSL VPN product to allow communications to our employees. And we have an employee portal, which was built in SharePoint. And I'm just going to – here's the screen right here. We call it My Hospital at virginiahospitalcenter.com. So as a user logs in, we actually can – we pass their credentials through the Juniper 5000 back to SharePoint. So now we know who the user is, and we customize this entry page per user.
So for the folks at home who can't see the screen, it just looks like a web page, customized based upon the identity of the user. But it just looks like a web page. I mean, to me, I mean, what's under behind the curtain there? Is it? I mean, how do you get the off-the-shelf functionality integrated into the SSL VPN?
Well, there's really no special coding. We pass the SharePoint is passed directly out to the user through the concentrator. It's a web-based program. It's a full Microsoft integrated program because the VPN product already has all those applets you need and all the APIs. It's ready to go from the start. And to us, we don't really consider it just a web page. This has some of the important things. We're constrained by JCO, which is the oversight board from the federal government who looks at us. And we have to have certain things out there. You can see in the bottom corner here, we have hospital policies. We have to make hospital policies available to all of our employees and contractors who come in. And it has to be in a readily available place, and it has to be modifiable, and it has to contain many there's many things that have to be in here. So when JCO comes into our hospital, we put them on our portal, and they can go, oh my gosh, this is available to everybody in PDF files, which are attached to SharePoint. It's exciting. But more importantly, you're getting this at home now. So any employee who has a question at home about, oh my gosh, am I allowed to say this or do this for a patient, they can refer to this at home.
I mean, some of the best products look really easy, but it's hard. So it sounds like there's a lot going on that you guys did from a development standpoint. Did you do a lot of development? I mean, was this a custom development job, or what was – I mean, your IT staff's not big. I mean, talk about that.
Well, we have one developer who's developing for the entire hospital, and just to say right now, she's not focused on Juniper. That's not her thing. Her gig right now is she's really focused on developing in SharePoint and developing our patient, employee, and physician portals. And they're very, very large products. She doesn't want to do this twice. Whatever she develops in-house and puts on her own web servers here, she wants to be able to push out. And, you know, before, you know, you'd put your firewall up there and then you'd go, you know, you'd come
administrative work needs to get done on it, admin stuff.
It was a nightmare. So with the Juniper 5000, we don't do any of that. It's literally built into the box. We point it to the right web page, and we push it out to the field.
So it's all self-contained. You do nothing with Juniper. It just takes care of itself.
Exactly. Simple. It's one of the least complex products we work with here at the hospital.
And provides all the functionality you need to integrate the off-the-shelf stuff, which is traditionally hard, right? I mean,
no question. There's really no – it was a long time ago. Does everybody know how plug-and-play was? I don't know if anybody's ever seen plug-and-play. I haven't seen a product that is plug-and-play.
They used to call it plug-and-pray.
Pretty much, and that's what it is here. And you can think in a hospital. We've got over 700 small applications that are riding here at the hospital, and none of them work out of the box. So, but when you come down to the Juniper product – there was no special customization. The only customization that we had to do, really, was with our PAX, our Fuji PAX product, to allow printing and viewing externally. But it was a 15-minute API change, and we did that all internally, and it's working like a champ. So, like, say you're a physician, you can go into a product called LastWord, which is our clinical information system, HIS, health information system. And you can, from your house, you can go in, enter all the patient information, do your diagnostics, take a look at what's going on with your patient from home, and so forth. All from the comfort of your home, which is really, really nice.
The physicians and anyone.
Exactly. So, but the best part, what the physicians love, they can print an entire patient record at their house, and we know that what they've printed. So there's a total HIPAA trust relationship now. So what we've got is the physicians print off their patient chart. They walk maybe to their office the next day, and they've scribbled on that patient chart some information. They go in at their office, and they type in some of the charting information at that office, and they pop here into the hospital. And the best part of it is the interface doesn't change from their office to their home to the hospital. It's the same interface, and it's all enabled by the SSL VPN concentrator.
So basically, I mean, the notable thing then is that you've taken the off-the-shelf stuff and that their look and feel, the stuff that they're used to, user experience type app stuff, and integrated into with the networking layer with the Juniper.
Exactly. Simple, convenient, easy for our developers to work on. We have one developer here, which is really tough considering we have 4,000 users in the hospital. We have one developer developing code for everything from our SharePoint and so forth. She was able to develop this without taking off any time from our other projects. Less than 90 days.
And so that would have taken, if you didn't do it that way, how long would it have taken, you think?
If we would have had to customize something like this using standard SSL appliances from other manufacturers, we anticipated, and we actually tried this looking at other products, it was going to take us over a year to do custom development. But everything, all of the applets that we needed were already loaded within the Juniper concentrator. We really didn't have to do any special development. All the applets and all the APIs were already built.
So it's basically pre-enabled on their end. So your developer just basically took and integrated what was already developed on the front end, which is off-the-shelf stuff.
Exactly. We built a small back end to it to keep track of some of the users who were logging in. So we have a small SQL Server database, which, of course, is linked into the Juniper VPN SSL device. And we keep track of who logs in, when they leave. And a good part of this is we want to know how many physicians are coming in and utilizing our services, because we just bought a second 5,000. And we've clustered them because we've noticed an uptake of users. Now, we used to do all of this utilizing Citrix. We had people logging in through Citrix, going in through a different VPN mechanism, and the users had to do so many clumsy things to make it work to their need, to make it basically look like they were here at the hospital. And all our physicians wanted to do is they wanted to be able to go anywhere and have it look exactly the same. And this was an enabler.
So basically, you're out of the custom development business immediately. Well, what about identity management? Obviously, you talk about who logged in when. I mean, that's a big directory services channel. Did you only do custom development on the directory services end? Juniper doesn't make directory services, do they? But, I mean, how does that all fit into this?
We interact everything with Active Directory. We're a Microsoft shop, so everything is accounted for in Active Directory. We also have a back-end system that we use as well, which was custom development, as we spoke about before, which is the SQL Server database that keeps track of when people print out documents so we can track all the documents that are printed out remotely. We are getting ready to do two-factor authentication by integrating RSA. You probably know Secure ID.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll be integrating that as well by the end of the year. Right now we have you have a user ID and password, which gets you into our system, and we enforce some very strict password lengths and complexities.
So, I mean, was that a problem integrating? How did that work? I mean, did you have to redo rewrites on that? Or, I mean, when you dropped the Juniper stuff in there, I mean.
Everything, it was pretty much seamless. With the RSA security piece, we've already tested it with our beta group of physicians. Went in seamlessly, took us like about 10 minutes because we actually had to rack a server, and it just worked out of the box. No modifications.
So obviously hospital, you have huge compliance issues. Obviously you mentioned HIPAA. You also have issues with, obviously people and how they work. Obviously, the radiology department closes at a certain time, but patients are always need help and physicians are at home. Talk about the challenges you have with remote users, not just coming in and getting access to, applications, but like doctors and remote diagnostics and things of that nature. How did you tackle that?
Well, many years ago, you'd have to have a radiologist working to the wee hours of the morning because patients tend not to schedule their emergencies. They just pop into the emergency room.
Yep.
So what we've been able to do now with the Juniper SSL VPN device is we have it hooked into our PACS system. And PACS basically is digital X-ray, digital CAT, digital MRI, and so forth. So what this allows us to do is now a physician, and we have follow the sun methodology here. We have radiologists who work in Australia, and they read our MRs, our CTs, and our other films in the evening hours from about midnight forward until our next shift starts at about 6 o'clock in the morning. So we don't miss a beat. This has allowed us to decrease the cost to the hospital of having to employ people working through the night here.
So it's really shifting really the labor costs of working through the nights to remote workers.
Exactly.
In this case, you know, they're reading film and stuff, right, like that.
Exactly. And it's to the hospital, it's extremely beneficial. You working through the night as a physician, it surely does a number on the body. You can't come in and work refreshed the next day. So by moving this to Australia and having radiologists down there read the films during the evening hours, well, early morning hours, I should say, it alleviates that issue with bringing in personnel who are not refreshed the next morning.
What were the challenges around getting that up and running? Was it straightforward with the SSL VPN? I mean, obviously, they're big files, right? And they're pulling down big files and then there's authentication. That's still through the system that you guys have here?
Exactly. We've integrated everything through a Microsoft backend, which snapped right in place into the SSL VPN device. The integration took us probably less than a week to get working flawlessly. And the week was is because we needed to do some changes to make sure that it could be read by the PCs that are remote. And they are pretty large files. Our X-rays and our MRs, I should say the X-rays and the CTs are pretty large files. The MRs are rather small. But we've definitely accommodated the speed. You really can't, like I said before, you can't tell the difference from working here at the hospital to working remotely at this point.
So from an IT standpoint, obviously, that's a big, big success. What was it like before that? I mean, did you have something in place? Was it people working around the clock? You didn't have people remotely. What were some of the things that you saw before that?
Before we had this, there was only a few other ways to provide connectivity into the hospital. One is via an IPsec tunnel. Which, of course, isn't the most secure in the world. There's very, very difficult to account for when you nail up a VPN from point A to point B. You don't know who's coming into the tunnel. You know where they're going because you're forcing them to an IP address, but unfortunately, that's not HIPAA compliant. So what we do now is we enforce the rule where we don't give out IPsec clients anymore. What you have to do is you have to log. You go to a web page. You bring up our portal, and it gives you the availability of all of the information that you're allowed to have on this website.
So really, that's two issues that we're driving in there. One was the compliance issue. The other one was the security was quasi-secure.
Exactly. Security is really great, but if you can't do any accounting or auditing, you're missing two of the major HIPAA compliance requirements.
Well, that's a big part, the reporting. So you're solid on SSL VPN, thanks to Juniper, it sounds like.
Most definitely.
The other part of Juniper that you've worked with that filled a need for you, and we're in your office, so I can see the two beautiful new boxes that you got here. Talk about that experience on the firewall and intrusion detection side.
Well, we've been a Juniper customer, you could say before, when it used to be NetScreen, before it was acquired by Juniper. And we purchased two NetScreen 204s and two IDP 100s from, at that point, the transition into Juniper. And the products work flawlessly. But our thing is if we can consolidate into a single platform, it reduces the need to have all of the full-time employees, FTEs, we need to manage this environment. And being a hospital and a nonprofit hospital, we don't have the luxury of having multiple employees. So we looked at the ISG 1000s at the last NetWorld Interop. And we said, hey, it looks like a good product. Looks like it'll fit. It actually gives us more bandwidth than we needed at that point in time. But now we're seeing a lot more internet connectivity. So we decided to go with the 1000s. We just got them installed here at the hospital. They haven't been installed to our environment. They're going to be going to our test lab first and then go into production. But what this is going to enable us to do is reduce the amount of time that we need to spend on monitoring two different appliances. Now we have one single appliance, and it's all now integrated into NSM, which is their management product.
So you get all that kind of integrated in, and also your bandwidth goes up because now with the SSL VPN, more people are connecting, sounds like, too.
Exactly. So now we've got the SSL VPNs on one side, we've got the ISGs on the other side, and we've got a fully integrated solution managed from one single place.
It's like you solve one problem on one hand, and guess what? More people, hey, I can work remotely. So then you got more internet connections to deal with.
Exactly.
It's great for Juniper.
You can never win when it comes to bandwidth. They always want more, and they want faster.
They always want more. Cool. So talk about some of the things that you've personally experienced, you know, in IT over the years. And honestly, the world's changing all the time. Security is always hot. And, you know, you talk about being a nonprofit and you have very thin staff in terms of IT. You've accomplished a ton. For other folks out there, other future master of IT folks, What things have you learned and have you overcome, and scar tissue stories you would want to share with folks?
Well, I think some of the most important things is you have to start out with a project plan and an architecture, because if you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there. So the first thing and the most important is to work with all of your employees and all of your colleagues. And this includes the non-technical folks, because if you put in technology and it's not appreciated by all of your constituents within the hospital or whatever facility you might be working in, it's not appreciated and you're never going to get a gold star for it. So the first thing to do is build consensus among all your peers. Then put together a really good enterprise architecture. Design it from the start and realize that in 3 years it's going to change, but put it together, put it on paper and submit it and let everybody sign off on it. Because the last thing you want to do is have IT drive the business. It's the other way around these days. Business drives IT. And we're nothing more than a service organization. We've received a lot of accolades from other employees at the hospital, mostly because we ask their advice and their opinions on everything from purchasing PCs to installing products like WebSense, which monitors where they go. And if they know why we're doing it, then they're very happy to comply with a lot of the policies. I think some of the other things, and actually the most important, is building a team. We can't do anything at this hospital. I can't do anything without having a top-notch staff who's happy coming in here every day. And the thing I like to hear the most from my staff is, you know what? I get to go to work today, and I'm excited about it. And the reason why they're excited is we bring in some really, really cool technology. And we've been real thankful with Juniper being a really strong partner with the hospital. They've given us technology to play with. We've purchased their technology. And my folks are really excited about integrating it into the environment. And the most important thing to technology people, besides training and, of course, a salary, and a good salary at that, is they want to have all the latest and greatest technology in the world. And they want to be at the leading edge. And we do provide that here at the hospital. And I really emphasize that the most. If your employees are happy, you're going to get 150% productivity. If you demotivate your employees, then productivity is going to be low. Turnover of staff is going to be very low, very high. And you're really not going to have a lot of your customers happy, because now your staff is talking to your users and saying, you know, we're not happy campers. So it just kind of starts into this domino effect.
Yeah. And you don't want to have folks feeling like they're coming to work, grinding it out, kind of like, you know, can't wait till 5. You know, you want them staying till 7 and, you know, having fun. And that's really important. So what you're saying then is that the consensus really go out in the organization and get the requirements and get that gets you the buy-in, that gets the people to tell you what they need.
Exactly.
And then architecting out on a plan. And then the team feels good because they can see the production. They see the value that being, you know, the pat on the back in the hallway to playing with cool gear and also making some money too. I mean, that's helpful.
Yeah, we have very few employees who are nonprofit.
Exactly. That's what I say. You know, I got 4 kids. It's tough to be a nonprofit when you have 4 kids.
Sure is.
We're going to college. So that's cool. Any other advice in terms of, you know, the SSL VPN and now with the bandwidth side? Obviously, it's a circular thing. You solve the SSL VPN thing and more people remotely. I mean, you're seeing benefits, obviously, that you architected. Are you seeing any other benefits that kind of came out of the woodwork from this that were kind of surprises?
Well, I think the real surprise was how the users were so excited to be able to work from home. And you would think just the opposite. But here in healthcare, just like I and most of the IT staff realize, in IT, we never leave the office. We're being paged all the time for certain issues that typically aren't our problems, but they page us. Our employees really want to work from home. And you have to look at the dynamic of healthcare. These are very compassionate, very giving people. We have nurses and clinicians who are wanting to care for these patients. They think about them when they get home. They want to be able to interact with that patient, whether it be on their chart or whatnot, and follow patient care from their remote site. And they do. It has brought so many compliments to our department that they have been able to keep in touch with their patients and with all of the family members associated with that patients just through the SSL VPN product. It's really amazing.
It's a great, great emotional kind of benefit there too, plus serving, you know, the people that you work for. Mm-hmm. I mean, other companies, whether it's a startup or another enterprise, remote workers, I mean, that's here to stay. I mean, virtual teams, you got IM, you got Skype, all these tools are out there, off-the-shelf stuff that are just getting better. And the internet is kind of going to this 2.0 version where people can feel good working at home. They got broadband. So, hey, they get a call. They need to get that access. So that's a huge coup. So with that, what's your view next 5 years from an IT perspective? What do you see down the pike coming down down the road?
Well, at least in healthcare, our big interest right now is pushing as much as we can remotely to our teleworkers, and we do have quite a few of them. We see a greater need by our physician community to have more and more applications integrated into our SSL VPN product by Juniper. And the reason is physicians want to work at home, and we're finding it more and more. They want to be able to work from their house. I'm talking not during the 9-to-5 hours. They want to be able to, at 11 o'clock at night, check on the status of a patient. We have some products that we need to quote-unquote webify to make it easier to integrate it into our current 5,000. So over the next 3 to 5 years, we're moving into also a new health information system. We're replacing our current health information system right now with a new one. We haven't selected it yet. We're in the RFP process. And we're looking at .NET-enabled as well as Java-based applications, which will enable us to push even more of the diagnostic and clinical applications out into the remote sites, into people's homes and into their businesses.
Well, that's great stuff. Mark Rhine, the director of IT at Virginia Hospital. Great stuff. Master of IT by Juniper Networks. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.